Representing Christ to the World, Letting Our Light Shine. Selected text, Our Citizenship is in Heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:20. While our true citizenship is in heaven, what are our obligations toward the citizens of the country and community in which we reside? Some scriptures might appear to support sealing ourselves off from the rest of the world. For example, Paul said that Christ died to deliver us out of this present evil age. Galatians 1:4. He urges us, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Romans 12:2. John admonished us, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." 1 John 2:15. Jesus himself said, "My kingdom is not of this world." John 18:36. Rather than withdrawing from the world, Paul says that we are the ambassadors, the senior representatives of Christ. How and in what manner should we represent Jesus to the people and nations of the world? Valuing people. As Christ's ambassadors, we are to value people as Jesus himself did, as being worthy of our time and our care. Although John speaks of displaying our love for our Christian brethren by laying down our lives for them, 1 John 3:16, Paul speaks of laying down our lives for the world in the figure of being baptized for the dead. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? 1 Corinthians 15:29 and 30. Paul cautioned that any association with those of the world should not mar our Christian character. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. 1 Corinthians 15:33. He clearly stated that we are to serve all people, but with a priority towards our brethren. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially those who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. Paul emphasized the importance of meeting together with those who share our vision and values for the purpose of mutual encouragement. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Hebrews 10:24 and 25. We are called to be members of a royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2:9. We are selected from among humanity and are developed to understand, sympathize, and deal gently with others, since we have similar weaknesses and failures. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weaknesses, and because of it he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins as for the people, so also for himself. Hebrews 5, 1-3. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Matthew 5:14 and 16. We are called to be beacons of light that lead others to Jesus, and to have our good works bring praise to God. Rather than wall ourselves in, we are called to go out and minister. 2 Timothy 4:1 through 5. The pain and suffering in the world today should touch us deeply. Do we shed a tear or say a prayer as an ambulance races by, siren blaring, knowing that some family is facing a crisis? Paul says that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings should be made on behalf of all men. 1 Timothy 2:1. While we cannot eradicate the world's suffering, each of us has opportunity to minister to those around us. At the least, we can offer prayer on their behalf. Praying requires a personal interest in the subject. Our Lord had great interest in the welfare of others, to the extent that he gave himself as a ransom for all. 1 Timothy 2:6. We should have this same interest. Since we are to have compassion for both the spiritual and temporal needs of the people around us, we should not dismiss opportunities to serve them. Primarily, we are to entreat them to establish a relationship with Christ and be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5:14-21. Secondarily, we are to serve them by exercising grace, compassion, mercy, and love. It is often through serving others' needs, as Christ's ambassadors, that we find the most effective way to invite others to establish a relationship with Jesus. This is pointedly reflected in the words of the song, "Who Will Be Jesus?" Bruce Carroll wrote, "Wounded people everywhere, and when they look at us, do they see Jesus there? Who will be Jesus to them? Who will show the love that restores them again? Oh, they do not need a judge, they need a friend. Who will be Jesus to them?" Service to others. Our service should go beyond prayer. Many times it is not merely prayer that is needed, but real assistance. Little things can mean much. Taking the newspaper from the end of a driveway to the front porch of the widowed woman who lives next door. Running an errand for a neighbor. Preparing a meal for a family dealing with a crisis. Giving overwhelmed parents a night of respite by caring for their children a few hours. These are little things that we can do to show the love and compassion of Jesus. Sometimes, though, we may be called to share experiences with the world in ways that we never considered. Our youngest adopted son has fetal alcohol spectrum disorder due to his birth mother's abuse of drugs and alcohol. Although a grown man now, he has very little cause and effect thinking ability and cannot foresee the consequences of his actions. This has resulted in legal trouble and incarceration for him and frequent trips by us to the county jail to visit him. There we sit, alongside others who are visiting a friend or family member. This has enabled us to develop sympathy and understanding for those with similar experiences. Paul tells us that when we receive comfort from God, we are better enabled to be a comfort to others. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. The lessons we thus gain are not meant to merely be stored away for future use in Christ's kingdom, but they are given to help us assist others now, in anticipation and practice, for the greater work yet future. Hebrews 4:15. How can we show sympathy? How can we be a beacon of light to a dark world? What does this commitment to kindness, mercy, and compassion mean in practical terms? First, we must show that our love for others is not merely lip service, not feigned nor partial, no respecter of persons, nor condescending. We must help others if by God's grace we have the ability to do so. This may mean that we make an offering of our personal time for the cause of Christ when opportunity presents itself and we see our unique experiences directing us to do so. Our older adopted son has Asperger's syndrome, sometimes called high-functioning autism. By participating in a local community organization aimed at helping parents and their adult children with disabilities work toward independent living, we are able to personally share the struggles and burdens that we all have in common. This has further developed our sympathy for the struggles of the world. Paul says that our experiences will be those common to all. 1 Corinthians 10:13. These types of experiences are not a diversion from spiritual development, but an aid to it. Through these ambassador experiences, we support and minister to those who suffer the burdens of disabilities. These experiences help to build agape love, unselfish love for our fellow human beings and even for those who might be considered our enemy. Paul speaks eloquently about the importance of this kind of love. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 13:8 and 9. A young lawyer asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered with a parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus' conclusion was in the form of a question as to who had acted as a neighbor to the man left for dead on the road to Jericho. The lawyer answered, "The one who showed mercy toward him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." Luke 10:25-37. The direction from the Lord is clear. Similar lessons appear in the parable of the sheep and goats, Matthew 25:31-46. While the primary application of the parable is in the millennial kingdom, one former editor of this journal labeled this a parable of two ages. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. These good deeds can be done by Christians now as well as by those on trial for life in the millennial kingdom. Peter and Paul repeatedly remind Christians of the importance of doing good deeds. 1 Peter 2:12, Ephesians 2:10, 1 Timothy 6:18, 2 Timothy 3:17, Titus 3:8 and 14, Hebrews 10:24. Paul says that sharing with others in need is a sacrifice offering that is pleasing to God. Hebrews 13:16. See also James 1:27. Charitable organizations. Humanitarian organizations solicit funds profusely in today's world. To what extent should we, who have committed all to Christ, contribute funds to organizations supporting those who are poor, sick, or have physical or mental disabilities? Our financial support likely will not make a difference in developing a cure or a solution, but it could help relieve those suffering from a particular disease or are in dire circumstances. Contributions to noble causes can help to express sympathy when physical limitations prevent a more personal service. Rationalization that a disease or illness cannot be cured, and thus contributions are a waste of consecrated funds, is a temptation which ought to be avoided. A highly respected Christian author wrote that no matter how little we earn, a certain proportion may be laid aside, either for our own future necessities or as a thank offering to the Lord, or, as the Apostle suggests, that we might have to give to those who are in still more needy circumstances. Charles T. Russell, The New Creation, page 565. Lights in the Darkness. The Christian's role as Christ's ambassador is a solemn responsibility. Will we be a beacon of light shining for all to see and giving a clear picture of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ? Will we be open to the wide diversity of humanity that Jesus gave his life to save? Will we realize that the brokenhearted and wayward need a caring friend right now, and not only in the judgment that is reserved for the next age? Will our works be so good that they bring forth praise to God from those who we have helped? Matthew 5:16. Let us all heed the admonition of the Lord. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, in order that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew 5:42-48.